truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, Shabbat Shalom and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, morning to some, afternoon to others, but a hearty hello nonetheless. We welcome you here to Scriptures and Scuttlebutts here on Leander Grace Out Loud, broadcasting from Podbean. It is July 9th, 2021, and we're broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. I am your host, Leander Grace, guys. I tell you what, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. We've been saying it a couple of times now, and now we know why. Last couple of broadcasts that we put out just seemed to have been wiped, you know, and it wasn't my end of a technical thing, because if it was my end, at least the music and the sound that we played would be there. So we're actually recording on another system as I broadcast through this one so that I have a backup in the event that the same thing happens again. Just want to tell you that off from the outset. So it is a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of this one thing. The Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth, and we diligently contend for the faith. Holy Spirit stands waiting to be invited, and I'm telling you guys, I just see in my mind's eye this enormous global worldwide altar call. Altar call. That's it. We're going to talk a little about some of that this evening, but our main topic is going to be Judah, my sister, right? Israel and Judah, the one stick thing. I've talked about it on other platforms and I've alluded to it before, but there's some scuttlebutt coming up on social media that I want to address directly. So we're going to address it on this program tonight directly. And so we're going to go forth. So the harlot's in the house and the thief is at the door. And that's why we need to address this directly. And for those of you who are of Judaic lineage from the tribe of Judah, it is time to come away from the tents. And you know what that is about. We can't win the battle alone. We got to get on our knees to win this war against not flesh and blood. It is a spiritual war against the forces of darkness and the forces of light. So those who would harm mankind, humanity, and the creation of Yahweh Elohim through Yeshua HaMashiach Nagin, right? There are those who want to wreck it. Can't wreck God, so he'll wreck the creation. We are the target. It parallels some things on the world stage. So remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, Pod People, we love you, too. Question everything, cultivating a Berean attitude. Search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. And guys, that's how I solve these arguments. Anytime that there's a question of who's who and who did what and who should we be mad at this week, right? I just take a look at the scripture and say, well, what did God say? Who's who in the scriptures? And if we know anything about the way the scriptures work, is that the scriptures don't change, right? They're going to be the same no matter what. So keeping that in mind, we'll be going through the scriptures this evening. We're going to go way back through the scriptures so that maybe you guys too can be ready to preach the word and be instant in season and out of season to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, guys, I want to tell you, I've pled this case with God and I've talked to him about this verse. And it's like, you know, going back a couple of weeks when we asked that question, are the beguiled guilty? When we talk about Eve being beguiled, is there guilt on her? No. You know, Paul tells us Adam. And we're going to talk about some who's who in the program today. So we're going to talk about that. It kind of comes full circle. There's a beguilement that we're going to point out. Remember, all of the broadcasts are all about empowering and helping us to heal through empathy, compassion, and ultimately forgiveness. It's not just on Holistic Truth. It's actually on every broadcast. And I got a little bit of a tickle coming on, guys, so I might have to, you know, take a little pause here and there just to, to kind of clear my throat. Something blew in between last time we were on the air and now. And, you know, it's been a while since they've let you guys hear me. They just blank it out. Not sure why. Could have something to do with the vaccine. We're not going to talk about that this evening. Let me get a drink. We are, however, going to be talking about who's who on the stage. We're not going to necessarily be talking about contemporary nations. We're going to talk about ancient nation titles. Who's who? What's what? Let me go ahead and clear my throat and get this out of the way directly here. Let me just get this done. And it will come out full volume on the other one. So if we have to use it, there'll be some serious, serious editing. All right, guys. So we're going to take a look at a lot of scriptures. And what I want to do, as what I do in most of the broadcasts, is I want to kind of bring like a thread, a timeline of proclamation, a timeline of another proclamation, things being said, things being done. Guys, we need to know who we are. You know, and I've said over and over on the other broadcasts, you know, if you are Christian, if you are not of the Judaic, those of the tribe of Jew, the Judaic lineage, then you are of the lost sheep. Now, there was also some Benjamites and some Levites and some other stuff, you know, some other tribes that were there in Judea, which is different than Judah, which is a tribe. Judea is the land, right? So there's some terms that we have to be able to be okay with, some things we have to know. Why do the names keep changing in the scriptures? Because we keep changing the names too. So God, in his infinite wisdom, he has projected the truth all the way into the future so that when we see it, we're like, oh, that looks like now. So we're going to address this thing. Who are the Jews and who are the Israelites and who is the Northern Kingdom and the house of Jacob and this and the that and the yada, yada, yada. Because people were still confused. But first, before we do that, I want to point something out. Now, on the other broadcast, remember, we point out that Jesus said, and we have to start from this point. Jesus himself said, "Know ye not that I came only for the lost sheep of the children of Israel?" And I think we've established it on this program that the Northern Kingdom are those lost sheep that were scattered among the nations to be as the nations. You know, that Assyria captured them. That's just what happened. God said, "Ephraim, going to give you to Assyria." We're going to talk about that scripture tonight. So who's Israel in the scriptures? Well, Israel is actually Jacob. He was renamed Israel, and all his descendants are the Israelites. But understand, when they were in Egypt, they were still called Hebrews. They weren't Israelites until they got out of Egypt, and then they lighted on things. They were still Hebrews for a while. And then, of course, we have that. So let's take a look at the scriptures and see. Now, the argument that tipped this off, I didn't know I was going to bring this to the fore. I know some of it, but the other is some of it was on social media. Someone keeps saying that. Now, guys, Lord forbid me, this is what's being said. This is not what I believe. Judy is my sister. That the Jews are of Satan. And I think some Christians are getting some things confused. And I think we can unravel this little mystery right here on the air right now, if you want to hear it. And that's the question. Some are very, very set in their belief of what they think they know. But there has been some things that, as a Christian body, those of the Northern Kingdom, the lost sheep, the ecclesia, who have gone on their little Protestant merry way, we've missed some of the books, and we don't have the history. And you say, well, Leander Grace, how do you know? Well, what's Hanukkah? Come on. What is Hanukkah? What does it celebrate? When was it established? Did Jesus ever attend? These are all the questions that most of the Christian body don't necessarily know. And I ask why. It's because we haven't bothered to look because of a bias in the scriptures. And I'm hoping that we can address that this evening. I'm hoping that we can. So let's take a look. First of all, I want to see, I'm going to put forth a little bit of a fulfillment of scripture as I see it. And I want to ask you guys, if we are indeed the Northern Kingdom, is this scripture been fulfilled, right? So we take a look, and I want to go all the way to Samuel. And it's 1 Samuel, I forgot the name. It's 7 and 8, verse 7 and 8. I'll have to look it up, guys. So I didn't get the chapter written down here, and I apologize. But actually, I want to give this to you as a resource as well. You know, when I'm off air and in my time, when I'm doing meditation or doing praying, sometimes even when I'm doing like my housework, you know, I'll turn on some audiobook scriptures and listen to them in the background. And every once in a while, Holy Spirit says, hey, did you hear that this time? You've read it a million times. Did you hear it this time? Right. So I can go back and I can hear it and I can look it up. And that's kind of what happened with this scripture here. And the audiobook, you can find it on YouTube. And I urge all of my listeners to go, you know, directly to, do not pass go, but go directly to Christopher Glynn. That's Christopher, traditional spelling. Glynn is G-L-Y-N, one N, on YouTube. And he has the extra biblical apocryphal books on audiobook, as well as he's beginning with the King James Version and the Old Testament and New Testament books. Guys, I'd say get some, because he has an amazing voice to deliver the scriptures. And it's just, I just enjoy listening to him. So that's Christopher Glynn. He's over on YouTube, and he has audiobooks with scriptures involved. So in 1 Samuel, now this is what's going on is, you know, Samuel is already, you know, up there in the kingdom. The children of Israel are like, you know, God, give us a king. They go to Samuel and they say, Samuel, you know, give us a king. We want to have a king like everybody else, right? Because why? Saul failed him. Well, Saul comes up next and he fails him, but he says, give us a king. You know, and Samuel's like, man, y'all are stupid, right? He said, y'all, what are you doing? And like, no, bring it to him. So he goes, okay, I'll bring it to the Lord. And he's like, you know, Samuel's like, sorry, God, this is what they asked. I mean, I'd be apologizing all over the place for him. You know, and Yahweh Elohim, he says, hearken unto the voice of the people in that they say unto thee, all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee. Right? Samuel was the prophet, the priest. But they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Ooh. I want to take a look at that. That's in verse 7. They have not rejected me, like thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So it all began when we asked for a king. And then 245 years ago, we said, we don't need no stinking kings. We want to trust God. So I see this a full circle, maybe a fulfillment of waiting for this to come full circle. Because directly in verse 8, he says, according to all the works which they've done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. He's like, so don't, you know, don't take it hard. He goes, they don't want to listen to you. They don't want to hear me through you. You know, they want a king. So they can point a finger at and blame it and say it's the king's idea. Right? Always got to have a fall guy. So do they want a king to make the rules, or they just want a fall guy and not have to deal directly with the creator? I don't know. We are a silly species, are we not? And at this time, remember, the children of Israel, all of the tribes were together, the northern and the southern kingdom. They had not yet had a king. They were being judged. They had judges. We just come out of the book of Judges into Samuel. And in the, for those of you who are familiar with the Hebrew layout of the text, it is the first and second kings. And of course, then it's third and fourth kings. And we've replaced that as well. So I was sitting on the 4th of July and this came up and I was like, man, this is amazing. I mean, because who from reading this, even when I was a small child, I didn't put it together, right? That those of us who were seeking independence for worship, we're actually throwing off those bonds of a king and wanted God to reign over us once again. I think it's amazing. Thought I'd point that out. That's in Samuel. Yea, go us. So I just thought I'd bring that in there. It's a simple fact that occurred and is a part of all of our world and global, our national history as well. So I just thought I'd throw that little thing out there. My heart went, ooh, that's cool. So let's zero in a little bit. Let's just go ahead and zero in and talk about Israel. Because the children of Israel includes all 12 tribes, all of the sons. And we know from reading the scriptures, if you only thump the scriptures and you don't read the scriptures, you may not know this, that Judah was not the firstborn, but he was the first one that passed, the first one to qualify. And So Judah is the one that held the scepter, according to Israel, when he was in Egypt before he died, right? He gave the foretelling of all of his sons and who they'd be and what they would be. And Judah holds the scepter because Joseph already did. Just thought I'd throw that in there. So what I want to point out is that we were told all through the scriptures, I don't know what kind of a bias or what kind of a chip people have on their shoulders, especially those who say that they love Christ, who have the audacity to say, you know, that all Jews are from Satan, when that who we call HaMashiach Nagid was a Jew himself. Mary was a Jew. His mother was a Jew. And so bite your tongue and listen up. Or as we say in some places, you know, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth, because we have some learning to do about this. Did Jesus, one, ever call the Jews the adversary's seed? Yes. Did he ever call the Pharisees? No, he called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Did he ever use the term vipers? Yes. Who was he talking to? Do we know as Christians? After Malachi, the prophet Malachi, there is a supposed 400-year silent period between the Old and New Testament. That's the folklore. That's the way of referring to it in the vernacular. But during those 400 years, we also have the establishment of Hanukkah, the feast, because Judas Maccabeus, the hammer, right, knocked the crap out of Antioch Epiphanes and knocked him all the way back to his little place and got the temple and all of the rededication of the temple and all the rest, and what do we get Hanukkah for? And that's another season. We'll talk about that. So there was a whole bunch of stuff that went on. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, you can go over to Christopher Glenn's YouTube and you can listen to or download and make sure you like it and do all of that stuff. Give him the proper respect and props for all the work he's doing. He spent hours and hours producing these works. So, you know, but go ahead and listen to the book of the Maccabees and find out how parallel it is to some of the things we hear in Daniel. I'm just saying, take a look at that. A lot of things happened during the Maccabean period. A lot of selling out happened amongst the children of Israel and in the tribe of Judah and those who were living in Judea at the time. Things became very political. And, you know, the ones who were wolves, who were real idiots among ourselves, and we know each, you know, we all groups of people have idiots amongst themselves, somebody who's going to sell them out and just be an idiot. Well, that's the true as it was then. When Antiochus Epiphanes was putting all that stuff, they went and made agreements with the Romans to come help them to throw that yoke off. Of course, Romans didn't have any problem with that. But in that time, a lot of dirty dealing went on. And if Jesus was calling, well, let's just, if they're calling him, he's calling vipers, he's doing it for a reason. He's doing it for a reason. I mean, he came from the same seed, supposedly, that we're assuming that these Pharisees and Sadducees came from. But we already know that we had an Edomite sitting in the temple, whatever Herod thingy. He wasn't Jewish. How many of the others that were in the ruling quote-unquote class also were not? Let's take a look at some of these scriptures. It's because the first thing that I want to remind folks is that the kingdom that was divorced by Yahweh was not Judah. It was Ephraim, the northern kingdom. The book of Hosea, we're going to hit that very hard next week. Not so much this week. I thought we were going to. And then this came along. So we're just going to jump into this. So who, right? Who are we dealing with? Well, first of all, I want to stop in the middle of Ezekiel. All right, I want to go to from Hosea, and just briefly touched on that, so we get a really taste for the way Yahweh thought about us as he divorced to the northern kingdom, Ecclesia, lost sheep, Christians. Because he said, you know, he put us away for all kinds of stuff. But then Ezekiel, now they weren't necessarily too far off in time frame. I think Hosea was like 722 or some, or 4. I don't know the numbers exactly. Don't quote me on that. So Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 37, I spoke of this on the program before, we're given a promise. After Ezekiel, you know, he hammers out, God says, hammer out all of this stuff. And then what I want you to do is now tell them this. All right, Ezekiel 37, if you want to turn with me in your scriptures, whether it's online or in a book or any of that, I'm going to try to give you a little bit of time. That's Ezekiel 37, and that's verse 15 is where we're going to start, because a brand new word of the Lord came to him at 15. All right, so he closed out one up above, and he's got another word coming in here. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, and this is to Ezekiel, moreover, thou son of man, take one stick and write on it for Judah, and for the children of Israel, his companions. So who are we talking about? For Judah, that would be the one who holds the scepter, the tribe, right? The tribe of Judah. And for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it. For Joseph, and it is the stick of Ephraim. And for all the house of Israel and his companions. Now remember, Jacob passed, he actually said, Joseph, these two kids are mine, Ephraim and Manasseh. Everyone you have after that is fine, but these are mine. He was like, they were like a substitute to Joseph, who had been king. So here they are in his stead. And a double portion, as it were. And so the children of Israel, thy people, shall speak unto thee and saying, what are you doing, right? He says, put these two together, and for Joseph and for Judah, and put them together and make it one stick. And when the children of thy people, and he didn't say the children of Israel, the children of Judah, he said the children of thy people. So whoever he was hanging with, and we know Ezekiel was hanging with, I'm going to blurt it out and I'm going to be wrong. So we need to find out who Ezekiel was hanging out with. I do believe he was in Judah. Just saying. And when the children of thy people speak to thee, saying, what are you showing? He's saying, I will take, God said, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and I will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. All right, so he's going to take the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, if I might use that phraseology, because he's using it all over the place in Hosea and the rest of it. Take the northern kingdom and the lost sheep and Judah and put them together, and we're going to be one stick. And I did say on a previous broadcast, of course, it was wiped by those who would not want it to be heard. You know, Dr. Gold, who is a Jewess, she is actually waking up the ecclesia and going to evangelical churches and teaching. And I'm loving it. You know, and she has a lot to say, so I'm going to go ahead and recommend her over on Rumble for you guys to listen to that. But let's get back on topic here. I'm looking at the clock here, and I'm going to want to go ahead and take a break. This is a really good time. Making them one stick. So my question is, why would Ezekiel the prophet say that? And what did Jesus have to say about it? And what did Paul have to say about it? And there's a lot more to say about it as we go forward in this broadcast here on Podbean. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. We're talking about Judah, my sister. We're talking about Israel and Judah becoming one stick. We're going to start talking about the identity of who is who. We touched on it a little bit, the first part of the broadcast, but we're going to go a little bit deeper into the who is who on the other side of the break. We're going to play a little bit of Joshua Aaron. I absolutely adore his music. This is Every Tribe, because that's who God's saying, right? Every tribe. And it's going to start out with a bunch of cheering. So we'll be back on the other side. It's a little bit longer than we usually take, about a 4-minute break, but I think it'll be worth it. All right, Joshua Aaron, Every Tribe.
Every tribe, every tongue, Emmanuel, your king shall come. End of sorrows, end of pain, come and praise Creator's name. Say amen, raise a shout, he's come again.
We seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, the silence will not have any protectionists for anybody at all at any time. We've got to talk about the truth, guys. We have to unveil the truth. Remember that God told us through the scriptures that be not partakers of the evil, the wickedness, and the darkness, but to be revealers of it. And so that's what I want to do, is reveal some of the wickedness of a train of thought or a doctrine or some way of thinking that people might have that says that by very nature and birth, it sounds very Islamic, actually, that argument. So I think it's kind of like a plant of an argument. I don't know. Perhaps. So let's see what the scriptures say, because I do know in Matthew 3:7, right? Jesus is talking to him. He says that, but when many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to his baptism, whose baptism? He said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And again in Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And he goes on in 23:33, says, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, snakes, right? How can ye escape the damnation of hell? And again in Luke 7, Now, he's talking to the multitude right there, isn't he? He's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those that pump themselves up and love the phylacteries and have all the little clickety-clackety things going on so that people know that someone of self-importance is coming down the hallway around the courtyard, come to attention and give him the respect that he wants. And then Luke 3:7 says, then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of. Now, this is the same story as up again at the baptism, just by a different teller. This is in Luke. O generation of vipers, who hath warned ye to flee from the wrath to come? So it's a little repetitious, but, and it's a little bit different because there's two different writers. And if they say same thing, word for word, somebody copied, right? So Luke 3:8. Luke 3:8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance and begin not to say within yourselves. Here, I love this one. We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to raise stones up into children of Abraham. Raise stones to raise up children of Abraham. And now also the axe, oh, I love this one, is laid under the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, all of this comes together to point a picture to me of something, but it didn't make sense to me until I actually got to the back of the book. And so we're going to go to the back of the book for just a second. Back of the book, into the Revelation, into the revealing of it, the apocryphalness of it. And it'll be Revelation chapter 2, and then we're going to jump over into chapter 3, just one verse each. Revelation 2:9, it says, I know thy works, just talking to the church. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. That's what the scripture says. Now, in my upbringing in a Southern Baptist church, this is, you know, years ago, we did not know as much then as we know now, or as much as we think we know now. Right? So what I was told is that anywhere that it was Jews, it was supposed to be Christians too, because we're all Christians, blah, blah, blah. But I have come to find out, and one of my mentors really drilled home into me, that the wording is precise. The wording that Holy Spirit chooses to use at any given time in any scripture is precise. And it means it to be exactly the way that it is. And so if we keep that as a premise and an axiom to hold true, then we already know that he's saying that there are some Jews who are just acting like they are. They've done it before, right? Impersonations, people impersonating one group of people over another. And then again in Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 9, it says, behold, I will make them a synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to John. He's talking to Ecclesia. He's talking to the saints. Who's he talking to? Because that, too, that specificity is important. And I'm going to leave you to go ahead and look that up because I do want to move on. So here we have this accusation by the Islamic folks and some of the other people who think they're better than others folks. Yeah, they think they're supreme and stuff like that. But we've got Jesus himself calling up scribes and Pharisees, vipers and this. And then what we have to understand is there are those who say they are Jews and are not. And what did Jesus do? He got in their face. He said, no, you guys are liars. You're the father, you know, your father. You're the son of the father of lies. That's who your father is. He was a liar from the beginning. He went off on them. And they had no clue that he was pointing out the absolute corruption and infiltration that had already gone on within the Sanhedrin and fill in the blank. Because we know we had an Edomite sitting in the palace. Did we not? Do we not? We need to read the scriptures. Carrying them and gossiping from one preacher to another is not going to cut it, folks. We are going to be individually and very personally held to account for what we do and do not know. Now, you know, God knows our abilities, and if we're able to know a lot and we've decided we're going to get by with a little, then we bring the parable of the talents in, and well, you know how that worked out. I leave it to you, that choice. So all through the time that Christ was walking the earth in his ministry, the whole time he was not speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrins and those with the very tall and long braids and the phylacteries and the clickety-clacketies and the thing of the thing and the bangles and the bangles and look at who important I am. Not one time. And when they did come to him, what did he say? He goes, no, physicians don't need a physicians don't need a doctor. And that didn't make any sense to me for a very long time, and I actually had to learn it in college when I went and did some of this coursework, because what I come to find out was they already knew it all. What good would it do for him to talk to them? They had their answers. Their sole thing was to trip them up. And so let's take a look at what it is that they were using as opposed to what Jesus Christ himself was saying. Let's take a look, because he tells us again, everything that we need to know is right here in these little old books. I just love it, these 66 books. All right, here we go. So again in Luke, and it's Luke 23:33. No, not that one, not that one. That's another one. Where is it at? I might have had it here on the side, and I do. Let me go ahead and put this one in. This is also in Matthew 23:13, and then Matthew 23:14 as well. So Matthew 23:13 and 14. And Jesus again is speaking, and he's looking right at their faces. He is in their grills, right? He's not taking any prisoners or making any excuses. He's being no respecter of persons. He knows what's going on. They may have fooled the people, but he knows what's going on and the depths of corruption that's going on. And Jesus says to him, but woe unto you, you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. And another one that I like that he says, you know, and it always starts out the same, woe unto you. He's like, oh, I feel sorry for you. Oh, you are so bad. You got it so wrong, right? Woes are coming. It's not a curse. It's an understanding of what they're bringing on themselves. Is it not? So the other one that I really like, when he talks about, you know, neither you shut it up, you don't let anybody else come in. He's going off on him, and he's quoting the scripture, and he goes, and, you know, he says, and if you'd read the scriptures, paraphrasing it, you would know who I am, because Moses wrote about him. Moses wrote about me. So what was going on there? Had real Judaic lineage individuals? No, when they came from Babylon, they started a different type of a priesthood, and that allowed for the corruption. Now, they still kept the separation of church and state that was established way back, you know, remember when Saul broke that separation of church and state, and he, as the king, decided he was going to sacrifice as a priest, and he's like, yeah, that's the last mess up you're going to have, right? And Samuel had to come to him. So God's very specific on things, and I think he's very specific on things so that when we are here in 2020, we can read this and go, oh, okay, so all this propaganda that it's the Jews, it could very well be the vipers, because we're already told by Christ himself, as he's revealing what was revealed to him by the Father, and he's revealing it to John to write it down. He says, I know thy works. I know those who say they are Jews and are not. And this is what they are. And not only are they that, I'm going to make sure that they become that, and it becomes so obvious Nobody can deny it. Are we there yet? Do we have posers that are still trying to pull the same sleight of hand, the same imposterism that they did back when Jesus walked the earth? And if there's ever any doubt on what Jesus wanted and how he wanted this to conclude, understand. And we're going to bring it to today and do a comparison, do a compare and contrast and an analysis of it. Because we got to ask ourselves, Ecclesia, Northern Kingdom, lost sheep, Protestants, Christians, what are we doing? And do we still think that we need to blame somebody? And are we larger than the one that we call Savior? Because in Luke 23:34, he says, Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. What did he say? Forgive them. Why? They don't know what they're doing. Okay, now we know why he wants them to forgive him, but why wouldn't they know what he's doing? Why is that line important? Remember, there's not one extra word, not one extra presentation of any idea that is extra. So what is it that we say, for they know not what they do? Remember, we're talking empathy, compassion, and ultimately forgiveness. We got to get a handle on this, people. Judah is not our enemy. She's our sister, and there are those who claim to be our sister and are not, but they have become a synagogue of Satan. Now, are there some of Judaic lineage that are in the middle of that? Maybe. There's some of the say that they're of Christian lineage that are in that too. There's some of every lineage in that. But just as I don't want anybody to judge me by the example set by Joel Osteen or Rick Saddleback's stupid butt, their example, hopefully people will not judge me by that. Any more than we have any right to judge any other particular population en masse by the actions of some others. Let's say those who gathered in the street and acted like absolute idiots with pink hats on their head. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And all of those that are running around and saying Black Lives Matter, not the core group, not the ones that are festering it, but the ones that are blind followers, they know not what they do. This crowd was presented a corrupt legal case. They didn't know what they were doing. It had to be woe unto them that makes it come about. But Jesus said, this particular group, Father, forgive them, because you and I both know they don't have a clue about what's going on right here. They really think it was me and that I did bad things. Don't hurt them for it. And here we are generationally in the middle of some social media networks saying, what? People, we need to clean this up. We need to get a hold of it. And it is we who are Christian, Protestant, evangelicals, those who recognize Christ as our Savior, we need to do it. Just as like those of us who are white need these black leaders to come up and say, hey, no, we're not a racist nation. We need that. We need witnesses to testify on our white behalves. Why? Because the picture doesn't look good. It's the same reason why Jesus needed to testify to the Father at that moment on the behalf of everyone that said, crucify him, because they had no clue. And who are you to say that Christ made a mistake or that God should not forgive? We need to get our attitudes adjusted. We need to understand who is who. And we need to understand if the picture looks fuzzy, we might need to tune our set in with the Holy Spirit and get into these scriptures and read the book, not just bang it like it's your best friend. Yeah, your buddy, my buddy Bible. Yeah. Get in it. Read it. Understand it. And if you don't read well, praise God for people like Christopher Glenn, who has actually put just amazing piece of work out on the internet for those who don't read well. You're going to actually get more out of, I think, his audiobook than I do sometimes reading. I really do. It was that wonderful and that revealing because it's, you know, who doesn't like to be read to, right? I do. So there's that. Guys, this is where we're at. Back to letting the world beat our sister up because there's a whole bunch of bad actors. And I want to say this, this is the only political statement that I'm going to make. I really hope that the rest of the world is not judging Americans based on the activity of our security agencies any more than the rest of the world should be judging any other nation based on the activities of their intelligence agencies. Because as we have come to find out, they're all playing skip to the loo, howdy-dowdy on the Friday night hootenanny. And they're all friends. And they don't like we the people. Pick a nation, any nation. The dark powers have been running it. Our prayer warriors are hard at work. The rest of the warriors are hard in action. And guys, hold the line. We got this. But a house divided cannot stand. And if you're of the idea that you're going to split Judah and the northern kingdom as God is cleaving us together, then you're going to have a very sour, sour, sore end. Sour, sore, sore, sour. Take your pick. A very bad ending. Because God's got this. He already said what he's going to do. And we aren't anything to get in the middle of his plans. He said he'll make us one stick. He's doing it. And then we have other folks coming up calling my sister names. How dare you? It's ignorant. And it's dangerous based on the way people like gossip and go with history. According to our history of how people have taken it. Stand up for what's right, Christians, Protestants, evangelicals. Don't care what you call yourself. Stand up for your sister, Judah. And if you don't understand our relationship, open the book. I would start, if you want to start understanding the relationship, start with Hosea. And then after you read Hosea, go back into Genesis with the two sisters from Syria. And when Jacob, or pardon me, not Jacob, but yeah, Jacob, when he worked the 7 years, the time of Jacob's trouble, when he worked for his wives. There's a lot of meat in that. We'll probably cover it next week or week after that, or maybe the week after that, whenever God says, we'll do it. But that's what we've got for you tonight, this evening, folks. Judah's our sister. And it's all through the scriptures that we're all going to be together in one stick. The problem is Christians, Protestants, Catholics, those who love the Lord, those who love Christ, I don't think they're clued in. I don't think we know who we are in relation to Judah. I don't think we know who we are when Christ says he came only for the lost sheep of the children of Israel. I don't think we know who we are. And in this identity crisis, we're making a lot of mistakes, the same mistakes that were spoken about in the book of Hosea. So what I'm going to suggest is for my listeners, I'm not going to read it all out loud for you guys, but for my listeners, what I would suggest is to go into the book of Hosea and just start reading. Now, it's a minor prophet, meaning it's not the big books. Like, you know, Isaiah's got a lot of chapters. Daniel's considered a major. These others are, well, depends on who you talk to, who's major and who's minor. So it's relatively a minor work as far as the number of chapters. It's 13 chapters or 14, something like that. So this is how Hosea starts out. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So this was the time frame he was alive during the tenure of those kings in Judah. And in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel. So this is letting us know there are two kingdoms. Two kings exist right now. All right. So he was through all the way through the Hezekiah, the king of Judah, which is just before the going off into Babylon, and we have Daniel, all that. And then we also have it in the days of Jeroboam, who was the king of the northern kingdom being carried off. So the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. We're going to pick up there next week on our broadcast. We're going to talk about the book of Hosea. We're going to talk about the parallels in the kingdoms, the parallel of the northern kingdom. We're going to take a look at it because I think there's a lot of meat. There's a lot of good stuff for us to be informed about, not to beat ourselves proudly about the head and shoulders and call ourselves down to shame, although that may occur, but so that we can be informed on how God looks at things and how he speaks to his servants, the prophets, and how they learn and how they teach. So Judah is our sister. We will not, maybe not, God has maybe a hope for, he shall make us. We will be one stick. And so I don't think in this family reunion that Yahweh in any way would invite the seed of the adversary to this celebration. So for all of those who have this short-sighted, uneducated, stubborn belief somehow that all Jews are of Satan, you need to wake up. You need to educate yourself. Quit smacking the book around and open it up and read it. We have a responsibility in this war, and that is to protect our sister Judah as she does the work. I'm talking about us the way the scriptures speak of us as sisters. All the way back to Leah and Rachel. We're sisters. There's a lineage and there's a connection. There's also a butting of heads like there's been since the beginning of that little thing. Maybe we can settle that at some point. But until we do, and until next time, I am your host, Leander Grace. I hope you found value in tonight's broadcast. I hope I've offered you another way to look at the scriptures, another way to connect these dots into a picture that makes more sense. We're not told to beware of Jews. We're being told to beware of those who say that they are Jews and are not. Beware of the posers, because they are poison to the body of Christ. I am your host, Leander Grace, reminding you to, until next time, and as always, to watch for those signposts, connect these dots, find your path, live in love, and do something good as we learn to forgive. And give it all to God, because we are, after all, ill-equipped in this battle alone. We are subject to confusions, just as any other group of people are. We want to get it right, and in that enthusiasm to jump onto the adversary, sometimes we inflict friendly fire. So we need to know who is who, what is what, and pay close attention to the mote that is in our eye, and not worry so much about a piece of dust that might be stuck in someone else's. Until next time, good night. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you.